Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. We are tonight's entertainment.
Coming to you live from somewhere in Wisconsin, I guess? It's Monday Night Live!
Hello and welcome to the program. I'm Chris House along with Ron Pertee, and you're listening to Monday Night Live. This is a new name for the show and a little bit of a new format. This is formerly Chris and Ron Live, but we decided to change things up a bit before we got too comfortable in our old show. Ron, how's everything going this week?
I mean, I guess okay. I think this is a better for us because
I think so.
And not only that, but like if something happens where I can't be on the show, you can do it. You can get a second somebody to come in and fill in for me for a night. Just don't get Tom Klein. Because I mean, we want ratings. We don't want people.
Well, that's
to
true. Know. That's true. We don't want good ratings.
Yeah, we don't want whatever the hell they have. So it's kind of, I think this is better off for us. Plus, I mean, people are going to be like, who the hell are Chris and Ron, and why should I care?
Well, that's until we make it famous.
And then they'll want to know.
Then they'll want to know.
But that's neither here nor there. But we do kind of have, I love how this is how great this show is, folks. First off, I was told I say folks too much, and to the people who think that, they can go fuck themselves, folks. Second of all, this is how great this show is. 5 minutes before we go on, oh, you're doing all the facts for this. I'm like, oh, great. That's great.
Yeah, I passed that on to Ron.
Yeah, that's
good. Yeah, you're gonna cover the facts, and we'll go from there.
Yeah, this is fantastic.
No pressure, right? Just gotta get all the, you gotta get all the facts right.
Oh boy. So I guess, I mean, by the title, you can tell that we're gonna be talking about something of a hot button topic. The shootings that happened over the weekend.
Yeah. Before we get into it, I want to give my personal viewpoint on something. I've been looking at social media throughout the day, and all too often I see people's feeds saying, if you support Trump, I'm blocking you. I'm unfollowing you. If you don't support Trump, I'm blocking you. I'm following you. That is the worst attitude to have. We need to have an open dialogue. We need to have a discussion about what's going on in this country, or we're never going to find a solution. Blocking people that you don't agree with or don't agree with you is just the worst thing that you can do.
True. And I can tell you from personal experience that it can get very tiring when you talk to somebody who's not willing to listen, though.
Yeah. Yeah.
That can be bad.
But you have to have that dialogue. You know, both sides have to have a dialogue.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's I understand that completely. But we're in a position now where people on the far left and people on the far right won't listen to what the other people have to say at all. So opening a dialogue is just kind of, no matter how hard we try, it's just not going to happen at this point, I think. And I think it's because, and of course this is me spouting off my bullshit, but I think it's because Trump is in the White House and it all has to, and I mean, and you know who really kind of hit the nail on the head was Beto O'Rourke, I think. I mean, everything that Trump has done screams racism. You know what I mean? Charlottesville happened. Oh, there are bad people on both sides. No, there's not.
Yeah.
You know, it took him 3 years to condemn white nationalism. Mm-hmm. And even then, he didn't take any of the blame. He didn't take any of the. He didn't say it was the, you know, guns' fault. It's video games, and it's mental illness. And it's just seriously okay. Mm-hmm. First off, what video game? And we'll get to the facts here in a second. But what video game has said to people, hey, you know what? Why don't you go ahead and destroy all the Hispanic invaders?
Yeah, there's all the studies, all the scientific studies that have come forward, and believe me that people have been trying to link violent video games to these mass shootings, and there hasn't been one scientific study that has shown any kind of a link. What I will say is, though, I do think that maybe violent video games, violent movies, mostly the internet, are desensitizing young people, weak-minded young people.
Oh, I will agree with that, but you're right with the studies. I mean, I played hours upon hours of Wolfenstein, the New Colossus, mm-hmm. and that is a violent, violent, oh my God, violent yeah. fucking yeah. game. I mean, well, okay, granted, it made me want to beat up Nazis, but when is that a bad thing?
Yeah.
You know, yeah, I mean,
I've been a gamer all my life. I work in the video game industry. I love video games, and I've never, ever once wanted to go out and, you know, murder someone just for the heck of it, or just, you know, for the fun of it.
Oh, yeah, no, never once. It's just, it's kind of like, I don't, Joe Lieberman tried this, and Hillary Clinton tried this back in the 90s.
Herb Cole, and that's
hitting home, Herb. Mm-hmm. You know,
back in the 90s when Herb Cole and Joe Lieberman tried that, I lobbied against it. Like, that was my first like political action, was I took up arms against Lieberman and Cole. Like, Cole was such a fucking hypocrite that the store, the Cole's department store that bared his family name, they sold Mortal Kombat in it. And he's going to try to ban Mortal Kombat. Well, motherfucker, don't let him sell it in Cole's department store. You fucking hypocrite.
It's like my buddy's old band had a saying, and I had to put my microphone down because I don't have my mic stand yet. I'm waiting for it. But if anybody wants to donate a Blue Yeti mic stand, like the big one, that's like $20 on Amazon, it's on my wish list. Just look me up.
I've got a few Blue Yeti mic stands.
The big ones?
I've got a bunch of them.
Oh, we're going to have to meet up, sir.
We'll talk.
Yes, we'll talk. Because I have to bring up the facts. I had to do some research here because there's a lot to cover. But when it comes to Herb Cole owning Cole's, selling Mortal Kombat, and then saying we have to ban dangerous video games. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah.
Okay. Having to ban dangerous video games, if it isn't making dollars, it isn't making sense, essentially. That's the way things work.
Right, and that whole thing just backfired on them because all of that did was it created the ESRB, the rating system. So now it's okay for developers to put as much blood and gore in there as long as they get that M rating. That's fine. You know, they can push the boundaries and they can push the limits far higher than they could have in the mid-90s when they were trying to ban these violent video games.
It's kind of like when Tipper Gore tried to ban music that had violent connotations. You know, you got a super intelligent D. Snyder showing up and shocking the world.
Yeah.
You know, So before we get going, I am going to let everybody know that we do have the Discord open. So we will be taking phone calls if you have them, if you want to talk about this. We're trying to stay serious. We're not trying to be super funny about this. We want to have an, like, you know, like Chris said, we want to have an open discussion with people. You may not agree with us on some of the things we say. Like, for instance, I'm a little preview here. Chris is a gun owner. I think we should ban guns, but that's something we'll get into later. But we're going to have an open discussion about it because we're adults. We're not 5-year-olds. No, this is mine. You know, so. Mm-hmm. Let me bring up some of the facts I got here. Which one should I do first? I mean,
we'll go in chronological order, I guess.
We're going with El Paso. Okay.
Yeah. So basically what happened, if you're not familiar with it, if you're not from the United States, you may not have heard about it. There were a number of mass shootings in our country this past weekend. Two big ones, I guess, for lack of a better term, but I think overall there were like 49 mass shootings in the country, some smaller ones, but it was just a crazy weekend for us.
Well, and plus, this is, I think, what, the 7th anniversary of the Sikh temple shooting
here in Oak Creek? Yeah. That happened this weekend.
Yeah, so that was just, I mean, that's when it hit home, and a lot of the stuff, and I hate to drive the point home, but a lot of this stuff didn't start happening until Trump became president, and it became okay to be a racist.
He normalized it. He did. He created this social divide. He just, you know, if he's not directly to blame, he definitely fueled the fire.
Oh, yeah. He was one of those assholes who came to a party in someone's backyard and saw there was a fire and said, you know what this could use? A little bit of gasoline.
Yeah. Yeah. We've had mass shootings for a long time now. You know, Trump isn't the only president that has had mass shootings. But you can't deny that Trump's tweets, his actions, his speeches hasn't fueled that fire.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And I mean, we had them under the Obama administration, but those were the people who were, I would say, who were the ones that hated that Obama was president because, you know, Trump. But even back then, Trump was fueling the fire by saying he wasn't born here. He's not an American and all that kind of happy horse shit, you know. Yeah. Yeah. And it was going on. He was just setting everything up. And so let's get into the facts here. We'll start off with the El Paso shooting, which is I think it was they're both bad, but the El Paso shooting is the one that had the most casualties. A single gunman killed 22 people and injured 24 others at an El Paso Walmart on the morning of August 3rd of 2019. And the FBI is investigating the shooting as an act of domestic terrorism and a possible hate crime. Well, no shit. Because the target were Hispanic and Latino Walmart customers. And the weapon that he used was a WASR-10. His name was Patrick Wood Crucius. And apparently his motive was anti-immigration and Hispanophobia. I didn't even know Hispanophobia was a thing.
I've never even heard of that word. Yeah. That gun, by the way, is a semi-automatic rifle similar to an AK-47.
Okay, and that's the thing I don't get. Why do we need AK-47s?
We don't.
Yeah. So basically, Patrick is 21. He was arrested shortly after the shooting began and was subsequently charged with capital murder. Police believe that the suspect published a white nationalist anti-immigrant manifesto online on 8chan. Mm-hmm.
Yep, I read that. I emailed it to you, and after I emailed it, I said, oh, shit, I'm probably on the NSA's watch list now.
Well, I did not open it, so I'm okay.
Well, you were still the recipient, so if I'm going down, you're going down.
Well, no, I think we can act. You know, I mean, we have proof that we used it for a show. The post cites inspiration from the Christchurch mosque shootings and refers to the white genocide conspiracy theory.
Yeah, he opened up the manifesto praising that, saying that he was fully in agreement. Here, let me pull it up. I'll pull it. Go ahead. Keep reading.
Okay, this one, with 22 fatalities, it was the third deadliest mass shooting in Texas history and the seventh deadliest in modern U.S. history. At the time of the shooting, it was also the deadliest mass shooting in the United States in 2019 and the deadliest in the United States since the Sutherland Springs church shooting in Texas on November 5th of 2017. And according to Bellingcat, the suspect's Twitter account portrayed a relatively normal Trump-supporting Republican up until April 2017, when the account stopped posting. The police confirmed that the shooter bought the gun used in the attack legally, but provided no details about the purchase. Two law enforcement officers told ABC News that after Crucius was taken into custody, he told investigators that he wanted to shoot as many Mexicans as possible. That's just Trump.
Yeah. Here is his manifesto. It's called The Inconvenient Truth, and it starts, this is the opening sentence, "In general, I support the Christchurch shooter and his manifesto. The attack is a response to the Hispanic invasion of Texas. They are the instigators, not me. I am simply defending my country from cultural and ethnic replacement brought on by this invasion."
You know, what's fucked up about that? Everything. But, the Hispanics didn't invade Texas. We took it from them. They were already there.
Yep.
You know, it's like building a city around people who are already there and then trying to kick them out.
Well, it's just that's the history of the United States.
Yeah, oh yeah, we stole everything we have.
Yeah.
Let's be real honest. But this is nothing but white supremacy at its core. There's actually a picture that he posted, it was on his Facebook or his Twitter or something, of the word Trump spelled out with guns. You know, I mean, what more do you want, people? You know, the aftermath, the Texas Department of Transportation provided information on how to donate blood. The police had set up a reunification center at the MacArthur Elementary Intermediate School so people can, you know, get their, you know, separated families. And several funeral homes in El Paso announced that they would provide funeral services for free to the families of the victims as a sign of solidarity with the community. Now, the one story that nobody's talking about that I think is kind of gives us a bit of a spark of hope in all this bullshit. And I don't know his name, and I should know his name. But there was this man who saw these kids without their parents when the shooting was going down. I don't know if you heard about this or not.
Yeah, Cordell. His name is Cordell. I can't remember his last name.
Yeah, so he grabbed as many kids as he could, and he got them to safety.
Yeah.
You know, and that's not – he didn't have to do that, but he did it because, you know what? We're all humans. We're all on this rock together, and we all – none of us are going to make it out alive.
Yeah. He's an active Army member, and he had a firearm on him.
Okay. Now, see, here's where I will argue with people who have concealed carry and say that they could have stopped this, okay? First off, Cordell could have because he's an active military member, okay? He's been trained over and over and over and over how to do this kind of stuff. Somebody who has their concealed carry, they took a course, they passed a test, they can carry a gun, doesn't mean that they were trained in active combat.
Well, some people are. Some people get good training. There's different levels of training that you can go through to get a firearm. There's the absolute minimum, and then there's extra levels. Like what I've went through, I went through years and years and years and years of firearm training. I've also been a firearms instructor, you know, an assistant instructor. I've trained security.
But not everybody
police.
Does that, though.
No, not everybody does that, but there are some people that have CCWs that have been through that kind of training.
Right, but I would think a good majority of the people who sit there and say the only thing can stop a bad guy with a gun is a good guy with a gun.
No, that's not the case. The ones who there are instances where good guys do stop bad guys with guns. Unfortunately, we don't hear a lot about those. We just hear about the mass shootings that do happen. I'm certainly not saying that the only thing that stops a bad guy is a good guy with a gun. No, there's a lot of variables that go on. Whenever anybody has a gun, there's always a gun involved in a fight. It's just there's so many variables that can go wrong.
Oh, exactly. You know, people say, oh, well, I could have shot him. It's like, yeah, but you don't know who would have been in between the two of them,
Yeah, and you don't know how you're going to react under that kind of a thing. You don't know how you're going to react when your body is just pumped full of adrenaline. You know, your body dumps this dopamine, and it just, you don't know how you're going to react. So you can't say, I do this and I do that, because you don't know what you would do.
Exactly. So that's why I think in the end you should leave it up to law enforcement, I don't think the military would get involved in something like this unless it was some kind of I don't even know. Yeah. But anyway, no. So they're saying that this is domestic terrorism. The guy's a Trump supporter. I mean, it's just all sorts of fucked up. But let's move on now. To something even more shitty, the 2019 shooting in Dayton, Ohio, which happened August 4th, 2019 at 1:05 Eastern, which was, 12 hours after?
It was like 12, 14 hours, something like that.
Yeah. 10 people were killed, including the perpetrator, and at least 27 others were injured. The gunman was killed by police within 30 seconds of the first shots being fired. Yeah, he was able to kill 9 people?
His sister was one of them, too.
And this is the thing that bothers me the most. I think you'll agree with me. He had a .223 caliber rifle with a 100-round drum magazine. Why the fuck do you need a 100-round drum magazine available for purchase on a consumer level?
No, you don't. You don't need something like that. Anything more than like 10 rounds, you don't need.
No, you don't. Let's see here. Eyewitnesses reported a man opened fire at the entrance of a Ned Pepper's bar. in downtown Oregon, his historic district of Dayton. After being denied entry, he was carrying that gun, shot into crowds, killing 9 people, according to Dayton Police Chief Richard Beal. 20 seconds after the gunman started shooting, law enforcement officers on the scene engaged the gunman. Within 30 seconds after the first shots were fired, the man was shot dead. Let's see. So there's a bunch of conflicting reports about the guy. The one thing that does, and we can't, okay, while Trump fans the flames of dissonance with race, Connor Stephen Betts, 24, from Bellbrook, Ohio, on his Twitter account, described himself as a leftist anime fan and a metalhead. Okay. And had posted tweets that opposed Donald Trump and supported Elizabeth Warren, socialism, and Satan.
Yeah, I saw that he was a Satanist, or a self-proclaimed Satanist.
Anybody who knows anything about Satanism knows a true Satanist would have never done this. Somebody who actually knows the tenets of Satanism. If you haven't read the... Have you ever read the Satanic Commandments?
No.
Let's just veer off for just a second. I want to read you just a couple, if I may.
Okay.
And this is why this is such bullshit. And this is – it gives Satanism a bad name, because Satanism at its core is a very humanistic thing. Let me bring it up here. Okay, here's just a couple of the tenets of Satanism. All right. One should strive to act with compassion and empathy towards all creatures in accordance with reason. The struggle for justice is an ongoing and necessary pursuit that should prevail over laws and institutions. One's body is inviolable, subject to one's own will alone. All right, here's the best one. The freedom of others should be respected, including the freedom to offend. To willingly and unjustly encroach upon the freedoms of another is to forego your own. Beliefs should conform to our best scientific understanding of the world. We should take care never to distort scientific facts to fit our beliefs. People are fallible. If we make a mistake, we should do our best to rectify it and resolve any harm that may have been caused. Every tenet is a guiding principle designed to inspire nobility in action and thought. The spirit of compassion, wisdom, and justice should always prevail over the written or spoken word. I mean, basically, it's saying be a good person and don't fuck over people.
Yeah.
You know, ostensibly, that's what it's saying, you know. And you are typing a lot over there. Are you writing your manifesto?
No, maybe I am.
Oh boy, watch yourself. That's not.
Ron Perlmutter. Oh, never mind. What?
Yeah. So anyway, according to Newsweek, Betts was a registered voter for the Democratic Party. According to law enforcement, Betts had no criminal record except for minor traffic offenses. Now this is where it gets interesting. And first off, I'm expecting people who are NRA supporters to say, oh, well, he supports Elizabeth Warren, so apparently Warren's – no, she's not spouting off hate and bullshit.
Right.
You know what I mean? Trump is. Okay, so two former high school classmates stated that Betts was suspended from Bellbrook High School after he made lists of other students he wanted to kill and rape. The hit list was discovered in early 2012 and resulted in a police investigation. A classmate also stated Betts was bullied and had planned to shoot up the school. I was bullied in high school. I didn't shoot up the school. All I did was try to hurt myself. The notion of Betts having bullied was disputed by other classmates who described him as a misogynist and a bully, reporting that he enjoyed scaring women while attending the school. Over the past years, Betts performed live vocals for a, quote, porno grind band called Menstrual Munchies,
jeez,
which Vice News described as, quote, misogynistic, male-dominated music scene.
Okay.
So, and then during the day, the police and the FBI searched the shooter's home and found writings that showed interest in killing people. As of August 5th, police investigators stated the investigation is ongoing and they are not prepared to speculate about motivations. On the late afternoon of August 5th, 34 hours after the shooting, Dayton Police Chief Richard Beale stated that we have a lot of evidence still to go through. Based on what where we're at now, we're not seeking any indication of race being a motive, and stated the police were unable to as yet to determine whether he shot his sister deliberately or unknowingly. Betts had additional ammunition magazines with him and was wearing body armor, a mask, and hearing protection during the attack. He reportedly ordered the semi-automatic gun used in the shooting from online from, wait for it, Texas, and the gun was transferred to a local firearms dealer in Ohio, where he picked it up.
I saw a statistic that was like one out of every two people in Texas own a firearm or something crazy like that. It was some crazy high number.
That's scary. I also saw a statistic that it's like there's been like 220 days in the year so far, and we've had 259 mass shootings.
Yep, more mass shootings than days in the year so far. Yep, that's sad.
I mean, and then you look at the other countries.
So, do we know? We don't know if this was racially motivated. The Ohio shooting. We don't know like the races of the people that he shot, or if he was targeting anybody specific.
It, from what I can tell, it looks like he just kind of came in and just started opening fire. He didn't have a manifesto, but for all intents and purposes, it looks like he is a misogynistic bully.
Yeah.
So we don't know.
So I wonder if that was even planned, or if it was just kind of a spur of the moment thing. Somebody pissed him off.
Like he couldn't get into the bar.
Yeah.
And then he just decided, you know what? Fine.
Yeah, those are the kind of people you got to be scared about. I mean, that's just, you know, what kind of upbringing did he have? Where were the parents? You know, I always got to ask when this happens. Where did the parents fail the kid?
Yeah, exactly. And that's the thing is, and I've said this before, and I'll say it again. We might not have had an issue with Dahmer had his father, who saw the signs a mile away, had he done something, you know, but he didn't.
Yep.
And that's a lot of, I mean, granted, Gein was just going to happen because back then there was no such thing as mental illness.
Right.
You know, but in the late 70s, early 80s, there were people who were suffering from issues that, you know, and it just kind of, it hurts that this kind of thing still happens now.
It does. Yeah, so I told you a little bit about what happened to me this weekend. I told you a little bit about it last night.
Tell the story.
And this kind of fits in perfectly with this. So Saturday, I live in an apartment complex, right? And each building is like blocked off. And like, there's four apartments in each building, right? And we share this communal basement where we all have our washers and dryers and storage units. And the neighbor kids that live across the hall from me, they're a little bit older than my kids. They like to play in the basement. You know, they're not supposed to, but they do. And there's this other kid that's visiting. He lives up the street. He doesn't live in the apartment complex. He lives up the road. He was down there with these neighbor kids, and he was vaping, right? Sixth grader. He's a sixth grader, and he's vaping. And my kids go down there. They're getting popsicles or something, and then they see him vaping. And then this kid thinks that my kids are going to, in his words, snitch on him. So he gets scared. He goes up, runs out the door, gets on his Huffy, books it home, and he drops his phone, right? Kid, sixth grader, has a iPhone, and he's vaping, because that's what sixth graders do these days.
Jesus Christ.
And apparently the screen broke, and he got really mad at my daughters, because he said that, oh, it's your fault, because you were going to snitch on me, so it's your fault that I had to run home, and I dropped my phone, so you're going to have to pay for this. It's $1,200. You know, I didn't know anything about this at the time, and my daughter's like, yeah, no, we don't have to pay anything for it. It was your phone. That's your fault. You know, that's your deal. So this kid was telling the neighbors that, you know, my dad's a psychopath. My dad's killed people. My dad's been to jail before. My dad's going to come over and kill you and your whole family.
What the fuck?
Yeah. So, you know, my 9-year-old is just in tears and just crying and crying and crying. So we called the police and we filed a police report. You know, this kid says that he carries a gun with him everywhere he goes, and his mom knows, and it's okay. And on his Instagram, he's posting pictures of him in handcuffs. They're toy handcuffs. Like, I know what real handcuffs look like, and these are
right.
These are toy Walmart handcuffs with a little lever that you push in it, you can get out of the handcuffs. So this kid just wants to be such a badass that he's telling people he's going to go and, you know, his dad's going to murder an entire family. Like, what the fuck goes on in these kids' heads, and where are the parents? Like, how can a parent fail so hard?
I think at this point, parents just don't care. I mean, you said the kids in what, sixth grade-ish, something like that?
Yeah.
I mean, that's so, on average, that's what, 10, 11?
Yeah,
something about, like that.
About 11. Yeah, and I saw pictures of this kid, and he's, you know, 80 pounds of skin and bones. He's just, I mean, I could blow him over with a breath.
I mean, and that's and I used to think that my mom keeping me inside till I was 10 and not letting me play outside was a bad thing. I mean, she must be a fucking Kreskin, because she saw this shit coming a mile away, you know. She didn't let me go outside till I knew what was going on. And this is the thing that's even worse is I'm 40 and I understand that my clock is a ticking for starting a family, but I still want kids. I want a wife. I want that whole thing. Yeah. But the more I hear stories about this and then what happened to me when I was working the bar the other night, I'm sure you heard about that.
I didn't hear the whole story, but if we're going to share violent work stories, I got some doozies to tell you.
Okay, well, this one, okay, we have this thing in Racine called First Friday, and the cops turn a blind eye to people walking the streets with booze, okay? And they go from bar to bar with their booze, and there's live music, and the streets are full of people, and it's just this big thing, right? Mm-hmm. And nobody ever starts any shit. Everybody's super nice, and we just everybody drinks, and they party, and they have fun. And it's just usually during the summer.
Okay.
Well, after a certain point, bars will say, look, you can't leave with booze anymore. You know, because the cops are cool, but they're cool to a point. And so I would say I have a friend who owns a bar, and you, I'm not going to say who, but you know who it is.
Yeah.
And so you were there. So I will sit at the door, and when people walk in, after say 9:30, I will say, look, I know you bought that somewhere else, but if you come in with it, you can't leave with it. And they're like, well, I bought this somewhere else. Why I gotta bring, you know, like, well, because if a cop drives by and they see you leaving with booze, they aren't going to think that you got that somewhere else. They're going to assume you got it here. And then the bar's at fault for you being a fucking moron.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to deal with people like that. Most of the people were really cool about it, because I have a chair next to the door. I sit there and I talk to the people as they come in, and we have a table. And if you want to leave your drink at the table when you go out to smoke a cigarette or have to run to your car or something, I'll watch your drink for you. You know, you have nothing to worry about. Mm-hmm. And so I'm sitting there, and this guy comes up to me, and he just kind of almost dives into me. And he shoves his, you know, that spot under your belly button that's really set, like, tender?
The penis?
No, above the penis. Above the penis.
Oh, like the man pube area.
Well, above that, though. Like, above that? Still,
like the
still
weight?
Part of your stomach.
The still, weight? Still, your waist?
No, still part of the stomach.
Okay. I picture what you're talking about. I'm just trying to figure out what to call
it. He just drives, like, two fingers and a thumb into it. For no reason whatsoever. I barely saw this guy as he came in the first time. And I'm like, oh God, did I just get shanked?
Yeah.
And so I have to reach into my shirt to see if I'm bleeding. I still have a big bruise in the area.
Mm-hmm.
And it still hurts a lot. And like, I had to carry in like cases of water today. So that was a plus. Well, the heat didn't help either.
What was your reaction when this guy did that?
I was just like, oh, I kind of like keeled over, and then he took off. I mean, I have, and it happens that fucking quick sometimes.
Yeah.
You know?
So I used to work at Walgreens. I was a manager at Walgreens, and I worked third shift on 35th and Wisconsin in Milwaukee.
Which is
completely the inner city in Milwaukee. It's the roughest store in Milwaukee. And I got to work third shift there. I did that for a few years. And I don't know how many times I had guns pulled on me, knives pulled on me. One time, you know, this was like 2 o'clock in the morning. We're out cleaning the store. You know, we had to do something called facing the store, where we pull all the merchandise forward and make everything look real pretty. And we're all doing that on the floor. Nobody's at the front register. And this guy came in, and all of a sudden you hear, brrr, like machine gun fire, legit machine gun fire, not just semi-automatic pulling trigger, you know, just machine gun fire. And he just lit the whole store up. You know, if you go into that store today, you'll still see bullet holes because they're too damn cheap to fix it. But we look back on the security footage, and this guy had an Uzi, just a straight up like MAC-10 Uzi. He wanted to rob the store, but nobody was up front, so he got pissed, and he just lit the whole store up with a machine gun.
That's so crazy.
Yeah, and you know, one time we had a security guard that carried a gun with him. We didn't know that. They're not supposed to carry guns, but he did. He was a convicted felon. So another reason why it's not supposed to carry a gun. But he had a gun on him, and he tried to stop a shoplifter that was stealing a pair of sunglasses, you know, $5 sunglasses. They got into a scuffle at the front of the store, and he just, the guard pulled out a gun and shot him dead. Well, actually, he shot him a few times. The guy fell over, stumped over in front of the store, on the sidewalk in front of the store. Came in, said, call the police. I just killed this guy. Then he went out, shot him twice in the head, finished him off. Just waited for the police to get there.
Jesus Christ, that's ridiculous.
And then, of course, the ME comes. You know, they take his body away. He's, you know, dead on the scene. There's no hope for the guy. His brains are all over the place. So they take his body away, and they don't clean up a murder scene, right? That's up to the property owners to clean up after the murder scene. So there's literally chunks of brain, chunks of skull, visceral. There's just it. It smells like, I'll never forget the smell. It's like, it's an iron smell. You know, that smell of iron that's in your blood? Like, that was overpowering. And, you know, we had to hose the sidewalk off and, you know, shovel up the brains. And that was, you know, thank God violent video games desensitized me, because yeah, I don't know what I would have done.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Joe Lieberman was right.
Yeah, that was crazy. But stuff like that happened all the time. I don't know how many times I got into fist fights with shoplifters. I've had knives pulled on me. But, like, that, it's a crazy world. It's a crazy world.
It is. It's nuts. I mean,
we all that just work in retail.
You need to have a chat with our mutual friend Mike, because he works corporate for Walgreens.
Mike who?
DP Mike.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Where does he work?
In Milwaukee, at corporate.
Oh, well, this was like 20 years ago.
Oh, yeah, no, he used to work at a store, but then they moved him into corporate, I guess, so.
What does he do there?
I'm not exactly sure. I know he did some social, he just, like, makes videos and stuff for them.
Oh, okay.
Which would make sense, considering, you know, but
that would make sense. Yeah, I left them. I left God a long time ago, 20 years.
Yeah, I remember, and this is, I don't know how to explain the story. So I used to work at a 7-Eleven on right on the outskirts of the hood, and I would work third shift, and the I wouldn't bother anybody, you know. Mm-hmm. And they wouldn't bother me. The other third shift guy, whenever somebody who didn't look right would come in, would be like, I'm calling the police, you need to get out of here. You know, one of those assholes. If you just leave them be, and they won't do anything wrong. And I just mean that as customers as a whole.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, that was my philosophy. Like,
It's one of those things. Unless they start some shit, just leave them be.
Right.
So I'm working third shift, not bothering anybody. Just kind of reading comics because, you know, adult. And so I'm just sitting there, and these four guys come in, and it was not a big shop at all. And they're kind of hanging out in the back behind, like, the coffee machine. I can't see them. Mm-hmm. And we used to have this this guy would come in the morning. And he would buy his cigars and some cigarettes for his wife.
Black and Miles? And,
no, big, like he like he's oh, an older
regular okay.
Yeah, regular cigars. And when he came in, he would bring his gigantic Rottweiler with him.
Okay.
And that Rottweiler loved us because we would give her Slim Jims. So she loved us, and if she saw anybody fucking with her Slim Jims as a threat. Mm-hmm. So apparently he didn't get his cigars that morning, and he shows up at like 2 o'clock in the morning with baby. That's what we called her, but we forget her name. And she comes up and she hops up on the counter and she starts licking my face. Mm-hmm. and they see that, oh, this Rottweiler likes this person. And anybody who knows anything about Rottweilers know that when they connect to a person, that they'll rip your fucking throat out if you fuck with them. And so they freaked out and took off because of the Rottweiler. And I gave her some more Slim Jims. That was that was a non-violent way to deter crime. And I love that. That's why I kind of love Rottweilers now, because and then when you do the research on them, they protect a family, but they stick with one person. Mm-hmm. And once they latch onto that one person, good luck fucking with them if they're around. Mm-hmm. But it's getting sad that we need shit like that though.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I mean, I sit there and I watch episodes of Andy Griffith while I'm waiting for MASH to start, because I love me some MASH.
That's right. You do. You're a MASH guy. Yes,
I am. And I'm watching it, and I'm just like, I'm sure even...
I got random fact. Did you know that Robert Altman's... was it Robert? Yeah, Robert Altman's... Son? Yeah, he was like 17
when he
wrote the song.
So he is
or 15. He was young.
He was 15. He was 15. So he is in the black forever now, because the royalties from that song are fucking ridiculous.
Oh my god! Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm watching Andy Griffith, and I'm just like, I'm sure times were like this at some point. You didn't have to lock your door.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
You could just live your life and nobody would fuck with you.
Yeah. There's still places in America that are like that. My mother-in-law doesn't lock her door. She lives in Cedarburg.
What?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was like when she comes to Milwaukee and my wife is with her, like my wife always locks her car door, right? And my kids had to go get something out of my mother-in-law's car after my wife had parked it. And she's like, well, they need the keys. And she's like, why do you need the keys? Like, well, we locked the car door. She's like, what? I never locked my car door. Like, that must be rough living like that.
Yeah, I know. I just And you're not too much older than I am.
I'm 7 years older than you.
Yeah, that's not that. I mean, for all intents, that's not even that much older. No. So we're both kind of part of that time period where we remember when things weren't this bad.
Right. No, I remember I used to ride my bike at night. You know, I grew up in West Dallas. So now I don't know if I'd let my kids ride their bikes at night in West Dallas. But as a kid, I did. And my parents are fine with it. I never had anything happen.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, it was one of those things where you'd go outside and you'd play and you'd get the whole, when the street lights come on, you got to be inside. And it was the honor system. And people, we listened to that and we went for it. And we didn't have to wear fanny packs when we were adults. And I'm sorry, that just kind of popped into my head for no reason. Back then,
though, fanny packs were cool. I had myself had a fanny pack.
Oh, fanny packs were cool back then.
In the 80s.
In the 80s. Yeah. Back when, speaking of the 80s, boy, do I have a recommendation for tonight. But we'll get to that in a minute. Yeah, so I mean, what you and I have differing views when it comes to guns. I look at a place like Australia, and I see how they basically got rid of guns and murders and suicides plummeted, But I got into an argument. I got into an argument with somebody and they said that, well, it's in the Constitution that we can have guns. Like, yeah, but the Constitution was also written like 250, 300 years ago when a British militia could come into your house and take everything and say, this is ours now. So you had to have a way to defend yourself. And then he's like, well, what happens when the government turns into a fascist dictatorship and we have to rise up? I'm like, yeah, but the people who follow the people that are about to turn into a fascist dictatorship are the ones with the guns. Because you don't hear about many left-leaning liberals who are packing, waiting for the government to become a fascist dictatorship. No, the people who are supporting Trump right now, the ones with the gun racks in the back of their Ford F-150s and their Confederate flags and their sister cousin wives who are the ones that are packing the most heat And, you know, they'll also survive the zombie apocalypse, but that's besides the point.
Okay. So I want to touch on something that you said when you said, like, Australia, crime.
Right.
Plummeted. Organized crime is huge in Australia. They have a number of organized crime groups. Crime is not good in Australia. There's a lot of violent crime in Australia.
Oh, no, I didn't say anything about crime. I said murder and suicide.
Well, compared to the United States, there's still murder and suicide.
I didn't say they were gone. I'm just saying that they plummeted. I didn't say it was eradicated.
Yeah. Well, you're never going to get rid of guns in the United States.
Because of the NRA. It's too much of a for-profit thing, and people care more about how much is in their wallet or their fanny pack, to consider that, hey, you know what, me getting rich is costing people, innocent people, their lives. But that's just my theory. Mm-hmm. And see, we're having an adult conversation. We have an open dialogue. We're not calling each other names, you stupid head.
No, and I saw a lot of that on like Facebook today. I just think
it's so bad. It's so bad. I mean, and I will be honest. When I saw that Mitch McConnell fell and broke his shoulder, I kind of chuckled, and I thought to myself.
I'm sorry. I got another number for you. Between 2012 and 2014, there were 487 homicides in Australia.
Isn't that just the amount of homicides in the last like half a year here?
That's like a month.
Yeah,
that's insane. So. That's a 2-year spread. In oh my God, that's just mind blowing. That's mind blowing.
Yeah, and that's after they got rid of guns. You know, imagine. I mean, we that's 487. You said,
yeah.
That's like a month and a half, 2 months here. I mean, and I love it when people say, oh well, Chicago, you know, gun laws aren't going to help. Gun laws aren't going to help. It's like, okay, and then they cite Chicago, because Chicago has a lot of gun laws, but they have a lot of gun homicides. Well, that's because they can drive to Indiana, which isn't too far over, get guns, and come back.
So here, murders with firearms per million in Australia is 3.
They?
Ranked 36th. The United States is 32.57, ranked 10th, 11 times more than Australia.
Yep. And that was a prison colony.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Imagine. Remember how Australia started?
Yeah, it was a prison colony for the UK, and so all of a sudden now these people are the smart ones. They have a big mass shooting, and they're like, "Nope, that's it. We're done. We're fucking done." And because the people cared, it went through. People turned in their guns, but that's not the way it's going to work here. Because we have people who, you know, who say, it's my right to have a gun. It's like Jim Jeffries said, you know, just say you fucking love guns.
Yeah, I think, you know, aside the Second Amendment, you know, besides that, it's just too big business. You know, there's too much money involved in guns. They're never going to go away. Instead of talking about banning guns, we just need to talk about sensible gun laws. Like, you know, we don't need these extended magazines.
No, that 100-round double barrel thing that he had,
Dayton. We never should have had bump stocks.
No, God, no. That was ridiculous. Now, granted, I'm not a new country fan, but when that guy started picking off country music fans, you know, I mean, and what was it, Vegas?
Yeah.
What, 2 years ago?
Yeah.
I just kind of, yeah. It just bugged the shit out of me. But you just going to have enjoy a concert. And then all of a sudden, pop, 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 pop.
Well, you can't go anywhere these days without worrying about that. You know, you can't go to a movie theater. You know, there's the Aurora movie theater shooting. You know, people were just trying to watch Dark Knight Rises.
Where was Batman then?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. I know.
Can't even do that. Can't go to Walmart. Can't go to a shopping mall. Can't go to a nightclub. You know, you can't go anywhere.
Yeah. I mean, and look at the a lot of the mass shootings that are happening now are the people that are... targeted, Hello Kitty. The people who are targeted are the ones who are like the Pulse nightclub shooting, or the one at the one just a few, you know, at Walmart. He targeted Hispanics and Latinos, and that's just, I mean, it's getting so bad that you don't even, I don't even know where to go with this. I mean, you better wear your Kevlar fanny pack. That's all I got to say.
Yeah, you got to protect yourself down there.
You do, you do. So I mean, we've let's talk about something fun. Let's talk about what we're gonna be doing next week.
Next week is the Star Wars episode. I'm looking forward to that one. We were gonna do that this week, but we figured with the big news over the weekend, we would do a little serious topic.
Yeah, we're gonna deep dive into Star Wars next Monday. Chris and Ron go to a galaxy far, far away, and we're going to talk about every Star Wars film that has come out in the order it came out, not chronologically. We're not gonna be that kind of a, you know, weirdo. But yeah, so what is your recommendation for people this week?
Oh man, you know what? I haven't even had a chance to think of a recommendation. You know what? It's gonna be a hot weekend, so I'm just gonna say, why don't you watch Friday the 13th?
There you go. That's nice. I have two recommendations. The first is to head over to anchor.fm/TheRonPertiShow and listen to my interview with the amazing Mike McCutcheon.
Yeah, how did that go?
It went great. He had nothing but kind words to say about Twisted Dreams.
Yeah, what did he say exactly? Let me hear it.
I don't know exactly what he said, but he did say that he would never ever be on Off the Rails with Tom and Mark. He did say that.
But he was wasn't he on that show already?
I don't know, but he said that he'd never do it again.
Pretty sure he was,
because he said that they stunk a little bit.
He did?
I guess
he did.
Yeah, yeah, and he said that if Twisted Dreams wants to succeed, that they should either get rid of them or buy them deodorant.
Oh man, Tom's our new What did I say? What did I say? Where Tom?
You hire somebody you don't know.
Tom's like our public relations guy. I can't remember. He wanted a title. We gave him a title, and I can't remember what the title was.
You should tell him to carry even dollar store deodorant in his fanny pack. Apparently.
Oh, Tom smells like marigolds.
Yeah, but marigolds can smell too sometimes.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah. So, check that interview out. It was a lot of fun. We really dive deep into filmmaking. So, if you want to know kind of like the ins and outs of, if you're somebody who wants to get started, we really kind of dive into that.
He's a good guy.
He's a great guy. And so that was a lot of fun. Also, my second recommendation is we've been talking a lot this last hour about how things were back in the day and how great they were. Well, for my recommendation, I suggest you go somewhere, find a copy, and watch the original Police Academy.
Wow, that's random. I've got that box set.
And you know what? Those movies, you can't make movies like that ever again, because somebody will bitch about what's happening in them. And I think that they're just fun. You know what I mean? They're a lot of fun, and we need that now.
I just actually watched a YouTube video on the history of like the Police Academy franchise.
Oh, you'll have to send that to me.
Yeah, it's so ironic that you mentioned that. Yeah, they're fun movies. I remember I saw part two in the theater. Yeah, the part two was the first one I saw in the theater when I was way too young to see it anyway. But
oh yeah, and my favorite bit in the first one is the blowjob bit.
Oh yeah, yeah.
That was classic.
With George Gaines, yeah.
Yeah, and I went to FYE today. And for like $5, I picked up part one and part three, which I think are arguably the best ones.
Mm-hmm.
Part three is just so good when the two academies are fighting.
Yeah, that I don't think that humor would go over well today.
No, it really wouldn't. Made today. And that's what's really shitty, because they're just so funny, and people now are just like, everybody's too woke. But yeah. What are you going to do?
Watch it on DVD.
Goddamn right. In fact, once we're all done here and I'm waiting for you to send me the audio to post to the podcast, I am going to watch some fucking Police Academy.
I'm actually going to watch Alita again. I just got the 3D Blu-ray. I don't think I recommended Alita Battle Angel yet. I'm going to recommend that. That was an excellent, excellent movie. And actually, our pal Mike McCrutchen was the art direct, one of the art directors on that film. So,
definitely, yeah, so he's definitely he's check a, that out. He's a jack of all trades in the film business.
Yeah, he is. And Alita is really good. Produced by James Cameron, they used his special effects lab, so the special effects are really good. The CG is really good on the characters. Like, they just really got human characters down pat with CGI. Much better than, like, Rogue One's Tarkin, so.
Oh, that Tarkin and that Leia.
Yeah, we'll talk about that next week, because, yeah, I got some thoughts on that. But
oh, we got some thoughts on these once Disney took over. Phew. Okay, folks, well, that's been the first installment of Monday Night Live. I'm Ron.
I'm Chris.
And we'll see you next week.